Robin Ayoub from the Localization Fireside Chat, and welcome to another episode. This episode will be, I think, five today, but overall, it's episode 162 of the Localization Fireside Chat, 2.5-year-old channel. I was just telling my guest of honor today, Fabiano, 2.5 million views the last 7 days in 49 countries, and 1,200 to 1,500 downloads average on a daily basis across all multi-channels and platforms. So thank you all for counting me among your channels that you listen to. Thanks for listening to my boring voice at some point. Hopefully I heard, in no word of a lie, I heard somebody telling me that they listen to this channel at the gym. I don't know why somebody would listen to this channel at the gym, but I thank you from the bottom of my heart. If this is how much I mean to you, that you take my voice with you to a treadmill, I love you from the bottom of my heart, all of you who can do this. So thank you so much for doing this. I really appreciate it. Without any further ado, without any further delays, I want to welcome my guest of honor and my good friend, Fabiano Cid. Fabiano joined me, a fellow Canadian from Montreal today, and I can't wait. We've scheduled this. We've been trying to schedule it for a while. Finally got it on the calendar. I can't wait to talk to you. Welcome to the show, Fabiano.
Robin, thank you so much for having me. You call your guests of honor, but the honor is all mine to be here. You're at the Golden Globe of Localization Podcast. You're taking away my Amy Poehler title. I call myself Amy Poehler, but you're doing an amazing job. This is such an honor. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Fabiano, for being part of this conversation today. And you know, as we say on this channel, everybody's got a story. So I can't wait, and the audience can't wait, to hear about your personal story, your personal journey. How did you get here?
Okay, so I don't know if I updated you. I'm no longer in Montreal. I left Montreal in October. I'm actually in Rio. We're recording. I'm in Rio at this moment. The weather is not so good, but it's Rio de Janeiro, where I was born.
Rio de Janeiro versus Montreal or Canada in general, man. I'll take Rio any day.
No matter what the weather it looks like. No, yeah, way. I get it. So yeah, I'm from Rio. I'm a Carioca, born and raised. I lived almost all my life, apart from 2 years in London. What took me to Montreal was localization. I think what brought me back was love. I met love in Montreal, and I often ask myself what I was doing under the snow, under minus 30, to meet my husband. The journey, the professional journey, started in 6 or 7. Renato Beninato hired me as a translator. I had a website. You know, not many people had websites then. I loved writing, and I put up a website with my writings. And I applied for a translator position. I worked with Renato for 3 months, moved to London, and I started working as a freelancer. And then 2 years later, I came back to Rio, opened my own company. I had it for 20 years. And then Charles, our good friend Charles, found me in Rio, and we merged in 2018. I tried to move to Montreal. I had separated, and he said, what is keeping you there? Come to Montreal. I need your help here. He had just bought Transcript, and I said, okay. But then COVID hit. I could only come in 2021, stay there for 4 years until this year. Last year, we joined PowerLink, you know, a larger group, and it's a very exciting opportunity for us to do fun stuff. And this is more or less, in a nutshell, the journey.
And you are a Chief Solution Officer at PowerLink right now. That's your official title, or has that changed?
I am, yes. It's so, so exciting. I'm a translator. I have a translation background. And at SICAPS, I was doing much more sales. I'll try to, you know, operations was no longer as exciting as it was at the beginning. With OXO, because Charles is a lawyer and he didn't have as much experience, I was the COO at OXO, but doing kind of everything. I was responsible also for technology, project management, the translation department, more or less. But then as we started moving towards full integration with Transcript, I started moving back to sales. When we joined PowerLink, it was right there, you know, around the time that we were about to announce the full integration. When we joined PowerLink, I saw this possibility because they had an amazing group of people that had such talent. They had acquired a few other companies, and there was a puzzle. These pieces were not completely connected, and I saw the opportunity of making them. We had already talked about Global Content Solutions, just GCSP, the acronym, and become a Global Content Solutions. We were saying that we were doing it, but not exactly doing it at OXXO. We needed the capacity to do it. And then we actually did with PowerLink. I think this is what was really exciting about the solutions position was I combined data, content generation, language engineering, AI, everything under the solutions umbrella. And the idea was that I would, eventually move on and slowly move on to a more sales position, which I was doing before. So I kind of prepared the terrain. Now it's time to go out there and show the clients what we can do, how exciting things that we've been doing.
It's very rare that I hear a translator became a salesperson. How did you manage that?
I think that's a very good question. I'm not good at biz dev. I actually hate knocking on doors. I usually tell salespeople, I don't open doors. But if you bring in the clients, I'll shut the door behind them. They will never leave. So I'm good. I wine and dine like no one. And with the solutions now, I think I'm good at understanding the client. There is this figure in advertising agencies, the person who does the client relations. And I think I am that person. I understand the client and translate to operations what they need and find a solutions for them. So this is what I do. I tried to do biz dev at OXXO.
It didn't
work. And I'm really bad at it. I have rejection issues.
You have rejection issues.
Serious rejection issues. I take it personally. If someone doesn't reply to my automated messages, it's like,
oh my God,
it's a live feed. What did I do wrong?
Is this when you have to go to a safe space and make sure that you're on your own? I gotta digest this thing now.
Exactly. So it was hard. All those rejections. I thought, no, I can do this. So bring in the client. I'll take care of them.
You've been at this for a while, right? Since 1990? How long have you been at this?
I'm old. And I'm happy that I am.
No,
yeah.
I'm not insinuating. We're all getting older, man. We're on the same train. Don't worry about it.
I've been doing this, 30 years now. I think it's my 30th anniversary. Yes, I've seen it all. I started translating on XL8. I don't know if you remember.
I remember that.
Yeah. Pre-Trados. I remember it was.
Right.
Yeah. So yeah, I've been around. It's been a ride.
So what signals do you think other missed that you picked up on?
What's the question again? What signals what?
That other missed that you think you've...
Interesting. Okay. I think, I've been talking about AI. I was very much involved with operations at OXXO, and suddenly I saw myself with the solutions department. I was talking with, Crosslink is a company that PowerLink had acquired. Crosslink has been doing AI and machine translation for, I don't know how many years, 20 plus years. And I was working with them. So I had to learn fast how to talk to them and how to see what we could, what they could bring to the group. And I started learning about it and being more involved, deep diving into the world of AI. And I think what I've seen, and because of my, I'm always a militant in my head. What I've been seeing, and I think people are probably missing, is the fact of bias in AI and how this can impact economic results. It's not so much about just the DEI, the humanity side of things. That is really important. I have no doubt about it. I'm always fostering discussions around it, but the economic aspect of it. So I had a presentation at Lock Road in Montreal last October, where I talked about the risks of English-only AI. And I think there are risks everywhere. And the name of the presentation was exactly this. What are the risks in sales, marketing, and life sciences, the possibility of putting risks of patients, the life of patients in at risk with, you know, badly constructed AI or English only AI even. We're always thinking about multilingual. This is the latest thing, I think, that I'm not sure whether people are missing. I know there are lots of people talking about it, but I think it needs to resurface more promptly and more vastly so that people are aware of these possibilities.
Now, I know, you know, in one of your LinkedIn posts, you said the industry is past translation and the industry is going into global content experience. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Sure. I couldn't, as I said, I started, you know, toying with this idea while at OXO. This is a concept that was created by Common Sense Advisory CSA Research, and I loved it. They talk about 2023 was, you know, a milestone. The localization era is anything before that. And after that, we start something new. And what I saw was, again, no matter how much, how automated we can produce translations today, there is a whole range of services that we can offer to the clients, and the market can encompass adjacent areas that we were not doing yet. So we were very much focused on translation and doing translation, talking about translation technology. But I think what we can do now, and there are some companies doing it, I feel that some companies are focusing specifically in certain areas adjacent to translation. What I see as, and this is what I brought to PowerLink, and we were already talking about it. I didn't do it myself. You know, the concept was there. PowerLink was already talking about it. But I think what gave us the opportunity to do this whole concept of global content solutions was the fact that we had already started working with some of these areas and also the companies that we had acquired earlier. So as I said, we now have a division of data acquisition, collection, and sentiment analysis. So everything related to data. We have another division that is content. So content generation, hybrid AI and human for any area. We have the marketing that we call brand elevator. So we are creating marketing campaigns and style guides for clients specifically for their marketing purposes. And also finally, there's technical writing, which is more or less related to content generation. And finally, the technical division, which are now under the innovation and product division that PowerLink created. So I think this is going to the client and showing them that we can elevate, because nobody knows better about multilingual content than we do. But we don't have to talk only about the transformative part of content management, but we can also talk about the creation of content, regardless of how we're creating it, whether with humans or AI. This is the idea, and this is the division that we tried to implement. I told, we can continue with the LSCP division. This is the division that will do content transformation, while we, the solutions department, will do content generation. So translation, interpreting, transcribing, everything will go into the LSCP division, but here we're going to do content generation, and we're going to go to clients and offer the full solution, the full scope of content management.
So in your opinion, like before we get into my next question, I guess if you, for the audience who are not familiar with PowerLink, can you give us a little bit of a stats on the company? How big is it? Where is it located? And what happened to the team in that used to be OXO? I guess you went through the rebrand, did you?
We are finalizing the rebranding at this point. We have a new logo coming up. I don't know whether I should say that. Too late. I don't know when you're, but this is, you know, spoiler. I don't think there's a problem there. But yes, so again, we had acquired Transcript in, when I joined, when we merged with OXO, my brand, I decided it was time for it to let go. I have a tattoo on my arm with the logo, and I said, this is where it's going
to
live.
You were completely attached to that logo. You put it on your
tattoo. I was, but I didn't want the market to be, because I thought it was time to invest in the OXO brand. I think brands are something that, you know, we could have a whole conversation around it. PowerLink at the moment, I think we're at number still, according to the 2024 ranking, 2025 hasn't come out. I think we were number 31 in terms of size. I may be saying something. I think it's we are 30 million In revenue US at this point, close to 200 people in, I don't know, maybe 12 countries, because we've had some good acquisitions in the past few years. So we're all over.
And what's your acquisition strategy? Are you trying to focus on areas of business that you don't currently have capacity for or skills for, and you're adding them on, or you're trying to buy revenue? What's your acquisition strategy?
That's a good question to ask Charles.
Ask Charles. Hey, Charles, what do you think of that question?
Charles, let me dial you in. This is the chief M&A officer. But I would say we ventured into life sciences, an area that we wanted to explore since forever. And we bought this amazing company, Eden Translations, in California and Palo Alto. They had a long track record of amazing success in the life sciences area, and we acquired them. The strategy overall is, I think, geographic expansion. You know, PowerLink was very Euro-centered now, and then we expanded to Canada when we joined the group. But also more recently, I think we had three more acquisitions since then. I think it's a combination of both. I think it's a combination of adding verticals, but also expanding revenue. Now we gave a little pause until we need to understand what the situation is, integrate all of this. I was practicing our internal sessions, the sofa sessions with Sophia today. She is the senior director of culture. And we were talking about this integration and how we are doing it. So we're going to have some more news soon. But for now, I think we're giving a pause until at least next quarter.
Since you mentioned sofa, and for the audience who don't know, Fabiano has an initiative called Sofa Stage. I'm just looking at it right now as I talk to him, and where he actually has a sofa where people come in. If you're at Monterey or any Loc World or any of those conferences, I think he travels with his sofa with him or something. I don't know. I mean, do you pack it in a, is it like one of those IKEA sofa disassembled, put it in?
Here's the sofa. I bring it with me. Yes, I do have a sofa. It's my brand. It's my baby, my new brand. So the SOFA, yes. The SOFA, it's an acronym that stands for Solutions Open Forum and AMA, Ask Me Anything. But, you know, I never told the official story publicly.
Tell me the official story, please.
Okay, so in Brazil, there was this amazing TV presenter who had a glorious history. She was a very wealthy woman, and she wore lots of jewelry. And she was this blonde, 60-something-year-old lady that was hilarious. She was a TV presenter. She had a show every Monday evening, and I loved it. And she had a sofa, so she had her guests in the sofa. So I'm going to send you the picture of her, so maybe you can pull up here. But then, you know, SOFA is this. So it was a combination of the both. So the Solutions Open Forum M&A and also the Hebe Camargo SOFA. I loved it so much. Today, SOFA, we have a brand, and it's very cute. And what I've been doing, it started as this internal thing. So people would come and ask me, what is the solutions? What is happening there? I was every Friday for 30 minutes. But then the management at PowerLink loved the idea. So we expanded it. And now we have Sofa Lounge, which is for internal purposes, talking to people and telling, you know, the rest of the team what they're doing, a certain division or initiative. There's Sofa Stage. When I go to conferences, I have 2 hours and, you know, I invite interesting people. I've had amazing conversations. I think we had 3 editions, 13 people. I'm very far away from your 163. We'll get there eventually. And SOFA podcast, something that we've been talking about, that we will develop, and we will talk about how we can do something together.
Absolutely. And you know what? We were talking about a pre-recording. I just looked it up, actually. In the Big Bang Theory, Mr. Sheldon Cooper, or Dr. Sheldon Cooper, not to be confused, he came up with the project names for stealing Leonard's app, the app that reads the equation and transfer it back, tells you the equation is correct or not. He tried the Sheldon, you know, the surprisingly helpful equation link differential optimized numerator. That did not work.
So yes, so far, yes, I have to tell you. SOFA is the solutions of performance is actually I reverse engineered like Sheldon did.
This is so fun. I'm having so much fun with this.
It was, I said, I need a SOFA. I need, find me a, you know, an explanation for SOFA as an acronym, because I wanted to celebrate Abby Camargo, the TV presenter. So it came up, you know, AI came up with this beautiful explanation, the extended explanation of. Now I'm only using with no dots. It's just SOFA. So yeah, SOFA, where bold ideas find a comfy seat. That's my tagline.
That's the best way to do it, man. Hey, question for you regarding AI. Where do you, like, how, what's the story with Powerling and AI? What's, how are you guys dealing with this now?
Very good.
What stage are you in?
I think I would say we're very advanced. As I said, Crosslang was a major player in this market since forever. They did statistical, they did rule-based when it started, and they were following up, they were keeping up with everything. When I joined in, I think they missed, because they were so focused on language engineering, they didn't have the LSP understanding of the business. So I tried to combine the two. They are now under Louis Mathieu, who's an amazing guy, who has Sarah Shop team and Mona's team, but this is, we can talk about later. With AI, I think what we're doing, you know, what we do best in terms of solutions, we find the solutions to our clients. We today have this amazing program called Power Ring by Powerling, which is a program whereby we have select clients for whom we develop solutions for them. We have some interesting solutions that we developed recently. Jero is one, is a product that we developed within the solutions department. I presented at Taos. It was a contest at Taos in Dublin last year. There is also Triplo. There is not so AI-based, but somehow Jero is a combination of, is a portal for everything related to the AI and all modules that we've been developing. We have recently developed an automated post-editing solution specific for a client, so very customized for this specific client. We now have another one that we're developing, the source quality improvement. And then again, we're talking about content generation. So this is something really important that we never, you know, the idea of trash in, trash out, we're trying to fix that so that we get better and more standardized content creation and content input into the AI, so the results of the AI do not require as much post-editing. That's the idea. So we're trying to, what we're offering our clients at this specific point is, you know, improving the inputs of the text, but also improving the output with automation throughout the process until final human validation and tweaking depending on the level of the visibility and the criteria of the client.
So one of the things that I don't know if I told you, but I launched a new company after I left my past employer, and the new company called N9 Networks, where I provide a variety of services.
Okay.
Generally around fractional sales capacity, so CRO, that kind of thing.
This is fun.
And one of the services I'm launching, which is coming up online soon, is to assist companies in something called MCP Server, and which not many people have been caught on to this yet. It's a brand new technology that is started by Anthropic long time, well, not a few months ago now.
Okay. But
think about it as a remote control to AI, basically. You tell AI, I want to get, like, you tell your television, turn the volume up, the volume goes up. It doesn't matter what the circuit boards and what the logic did underneath in the remote control. But that's what MCP server is. And it stands for multi-contextual server, or you can call it an API server for that, you know, similar to API server, but it's not. It's multi-contextual. So you put a whole bunch of barriers and guardrails around shaping AI. For instance, we know certain AI models respond to certain logic better than others. So MCP server bring all this together and says, for this particular function, I want you to go to Grok, or I want you to go to ChatGPT, or I want you to go to Anthropic or Gemini, etc. This is now, it's being used quite well. And, you know, it's very interesting. Like, if you let loose on AI, for instance, if you just tell AI anything, yeah, it comes back with anything. And every time you give it a same question, it comes back with a different answer. Why is that? is because we haven't really put barriers and boundaries around it in a very programmatic way. I'm actually experimenting with this myself. I don't know if I told you, my background is technology as well. I've done a lot of
I didn't know. Okay.
So I'm going to write my, I started building it. I haven't finished it yet. I'm going to build my first MCP server. But one of the servers, the services that I'm going to offer is MCP server consulting and actually building it. I got a whole bunch of PhD students wants to help and participate in this. They're Canadian based.
It's amazing.
And then we'll bring this together as a function. The language industry, that's what's missing. That entire hallucination issue, it's coming from that. Because we did not really program it in a way that prevents it from hallucinating. And that's why you get different answers every time you give it the same question. So if I give the same question now, and 5 minutes from now, I'm not getting the same answer.
Absolutely, yeah. And not only that, I was reading this article yesterday, actually, by Olga Brigovaya. She was on the board of Women Organizations, very smart woman. And she was talking about the deceleration of large language models. So as the models create new versions, for instance, I think it was she was using the example of ChatGPT. As they create new versions and they try to make it more conversational, they put a lot of conversational data. What was good in terms of legal and financial, there was, you know, you needed the guardrails and you needed structure and you needed, you know, more structured data, it gets lost. So the quality drops. So instead of improving the quality of the output of the LLMs, it starts dropping. And I strongly believe in the power of, I'm hoping that this will be, you know, because it's absurd that all technology is in the hand of so many few billionaires and who are not exactly looking for, you know, concerned about humanity. They're more concerned about just accumulating more money and giving it to investors. But I'm looking at small language models. There is a person, Sharif Isaka, amazing.
Yeah, small language models are taking off right now.
Yes. And underrepresented language models. This is amazing too. And this is going back to what people are missing. This is what I want to talk about. Hopefully, if when they open the call for papers, I want to present this idea and do a trilogy about AI. And the last one will be how small language models and underrepresented languages are making a profit. So you don't have to chase, you know, the big guys only look at them. Try to look at smaller solutions. It's like buying from your local producers instead of the big supermarket chain. It's more or less the same concept.
The problem of data sovereignty too, right? So people are looking at it from a data sovereignty perspective.
And these,
you can load it locally on your server. You don't need to put it on a cloud somewhere.
Well, there you go. And you can have a much better fine-tuned result for what you're looking for because you have better control, you know, as you said, you're in the hands because we don't have the purchasing power of the giants of, you know, the oracles that are really interesting to these large language models. We can do our own and have, you know, much better control over what we are dealing with. Yeah.
So what are you seeing out there from a customer perspective? I mean, we talked about it from an internal perspective, how do we push together, but, you know, stitch all these solutions together. But what are your customers are telling you? Like, are they on board? Are they like, because I was having a podcast, I did a podcast, when was that? I just published it last week, late last one with, what's his name? Andre Huberger from Attract. And he told me on the podcast, he said that their customers are asking specifically.
Don't use AI.
And now I know he deals in the regulated environment, pharmaceutical, healthcare, medical in general. What is your customer saying? What are they telling you?
Oh, that's a good question. I think, you know, I've heard from the people who work with life sciences the same thing. They have, you know, their clients have big concerns about how diligently we're using AI. I don't deal with those clients so much. I'm more into the tech side of us of things. So I talk to, you know, localization directors and senior managers. So these people, I think they're looking for partners to help them orchestrate everything that is available out there, because every new day there is something new available. And how can they find customized solutions for their needs? So my goal when I sit down with clients and I tell them, give me your wish list. Let's see what we can compile for you and what we can bring
to you. That's a question sometimes when you say to somebody, give me your wish list. An arm length of a wish list. I don't know. Get me a
But then we will see what we can do. I mean, what is your, you know, give me your widest dreams. What would you like, you know, us, how can we help you? Because now we're not limited to translation only. We can offer everything. And we have this amazing pool of resources and masterminds in the company that we can think.
So you guys are moving from translation to content strategy.
This is it. Exactly.
You know, everybody you talk to is about creating value, right? So you mentioned earlier, like, give me a wish list, but I know where you're getting at. I was just laughing and joking with you, but trying to create the value for the customer. Like, you do a job for somebody, it better have a value. Otherwise, why are you doing it? You get up in the morning, you go to a job, it better do something for somebody that is positive. And, you know, that whole value chain creation for a customer, it moves you from commodity. Again, I was doing another conversation this morning, and the individual was telling me, "Is we stopped charging by per word, Robin. We're moving from per word to per hour because that's a consequence of you guys, Mr. Customer, using variety, a plethora of technologies out there. You need me for my expertise." I did a podcast with a lady out of Athens last year, and we talked about cognitive pricing. This is very important. Cognitive pricing. So you're using technology, fine, use whatever you want. The genie's out of the bottle. Everybody's using whatever the heck they want to use. One thing you cannot replace is the intellectual knowledge that the industry has. You can't replace that.
This is true.
Individuals who are in the industry, expert in the industry, went to university, have degrees in the topic that they're working with, whatever the topic is. And that worth something. And that is quantifying this and putting a price on it. However you want to price it, it's fine. But now it's not a per word anymore. I did this podcast one time and I said, look, whoever came up with this industry initially and whoever came up with the idea of saying, oh, I want to price this per word, I don't know if it's a dumb mistake or whoever created this stupid thing. It's the stupidest thing I ever heard.
It's true.
You go to a lawyer now and say, oh, you're going to do a contract for me? I want you to try price it per
word. Charge me per word.
What don't we charge? Try that conversation, see how far it goes.
Can you imagine advertising? Yeah, advertising. Whoever created Just Do It, yeah, I'm going to pay you 3 words. And this is it. I think this is a perfect example. How can we, you know, you translate Just Do It? No, I think we have to charge per value. You talked about, you know, creating value chain. We have to charge per value like advertising companies do. What does it mean to have a slogan for your brand and how it will, you know, replicate and how it will transform into value and market? Because we don't talk about these things. Back then, 2010, I started organizing this event called Think Latin America. And I brought people from marketing, from logistics, from let's learn from these people how they did it so that we can learn as an industry and start changing our mindset. Because we're still very much, oh no, it's the, I can't believe we're still talking about quality of the text. I mean, it's 2026. What are you talking about? We're not translators anymore. We are translators. Yes, the basis is translation. Yes, okay. But we have to think business. We have to think, you know, on a grander scale.
That's right.
I think we're getting there. We're getting there.
So let's switch topic a little bit. I know you're an advocate you're a visible advocate in the inclusion topic for the industry. And you've been championing this in a variety of conversations. So what impact, in your opinion, that has on organizational performance from the companies that you've been involved with or the initiatives that you've been part of? Has that helped positively and how?
Absolutely. It's not a humanity thing. It's the economy, stupid. Sentence I want to write every time I want to. It's the economy, stupid. It is. I mean, you know, with OXXO, I think OXXO was a very much Canadian company. So, and because it was, there were a lot of the Canadian market is very translation focused, and there's the need for internal translators. But when I got there, it was very much white translators, you know, very Canadian, very Quebec, and it's fine. And I came in, especially, you know, we came in, and I think Charles had this vision already, and I think people were open to it.
I'm not going to ask that question.
You almost got me there, man. But, you know, I came, you know, we had Brazilians. I brought in all the team. I managed to save all the people that were working with me, and I had already started this experience of going offshore. We call offshore. And with OXXO, I started hiring people. We had people working from Morocco, from Egypt, and from Brazil, and from Peru and Argentina, everywhere, because I knew the value of bringing diversity into the team. And all these life experiences of these people and the clients, you cannot only, if you're dealing with, you know, intrinsically Canadian audience, that's fine. But OXXO, we had, with CCAPS, my previous company, we had companies all over. And this is what is happening with PowerLink as well. I think it's really important to bring not only the geographical diversity, but also the diversity of life experiences. I think it's paramount for any business. And at times when DEI is being banished, we need to be more alert and be more forceful about bringing in DEI initiatives for the sake of the business. It's not for the sake of the people. I mean, the people will do well in whatever way they can, but it's for the sake of the business, because a business that is predominantly white and northern hemisphere and cis and, you know, male is not going to thrive. You know, I think the more we bring in diversity, the better we can do.
And, you know, we work in the language industry. That's funny we're talking about this. I mean, language industry has, like, I don't know, 500-600 languages inside of it. And meanwhile, we're talking about one unique, you know, specimen of particular language combination here that we're trying to talk about this one. By default, this industry is integrated in many, many cultures, many ethnic backgrounds, et cetera, because that's what we do. That's the industry. That's the nature of the industry.
And we should be more diverse, I feel. You look, you go, there was some discussions around this. It was a post by Mercedes Creamy, a person that I admire a lot from Notion. And she was at a conference and she said, I'm at this conference, there are 15 people on stage, only one woman as a speaker. This is the post. And things started changing. I think conferences at large have already paid attention to this.
Yeah.
How can we make it more diverse? We have an amazing initiative. This is a major spoiler, Robbie. We are under Women Localization. We have a group. I need to ask for permission to publish this, but yes, we have a group now called the WICS, the Underrepresented Interest Groups. It's a safe space for people to communicate and to debate and to provide recommendations for the industry. We're talking about LGBTQI+ individuals, non-binary, trans people. We're talking about Black, Indigenous, and people of color. And we're talking about people with disability. And again, it's not humanity only. Europe has just passed the EU Accessibility Act, and nobody's talking about accessibility. The fines are coming. They're gonna feel in their pockets if they don't react quickly. So this is how I feel it should be, you know, DEI should be discussed from an economic perspective, from the, you know, to make sure the business are thriving because of DEI and not despite of it.
So, you know, you also spoke about something called age and perspective on things. So as we go along and we all get older every day and every year, how does experience become competitive advantage, in your opinion, from a leadership perspective? There's always that notion that people want to bring in banks, and everybody's familiar with this one, specifically financial institutions in Canada.
Yeah. Where,
you know, you reach a certain age, they toss you outside and they bring somebody new in. How does that play around in your mind, that experience, that wisdom that you've gained, you know, the tenor that you've had in a certain company or a certain industry? You've been in the industry for many years. How does that play in as an advantage in a leadership style?
I think, you know, avoiding the possibility of mixing the new and the old is such a waste of opportunity. As you said, the acquired experience, I've been in this industry for 30 years. I've seen it all. You too. You've been, I don't know for how long, but we have the acquired 25, there you go. You know, and it's not only the industry, it's life experience. We know how to deal with people. We know how to you know, to resist to the storm. We've been through, you know, if we don't get scared easily. But I also welcome the new ideas. It needs to have a balance. I'm not a person who is always, you know, advocating for the old only, because we are more experienced.
No, you need a mixture. You need both.
And I see a lot of younger folks, 30-year-olds, criticizing Aziz. And I'm like, excuse me, what are you doing? Even my husband sometimes, what are you doing? These are very smart people. We have a lot to learn from them. I despise this intergenerational critique. Yeah. I think everyone has a lot to learn.
100%.
If we could combine it all, you know, the wrinkles are good. But I think it takes a while for you to admit it. I think, you know, and today, Robin, we don't give too much damn about many things, do we? It's like, you know what matters, and, you know, this too shall pass. So we don't get swamped with emotions or, you know, negative feelings. We know that everything will be good.
Fabiano, let's take a look down the road. You got an hourglass here, and you look in 5 or 6 months, whatever the time frame that you like. If you could rewrite the roadmap of global content over the next decade, what would be the first 3 priorities do you think should take place?
It's a wonderful question. I think if the whole industry had a better understanding, and especially the consulting firms, stop fighting about who has the right take on the future, and instead combined their ideas. If as an industry, we understood that we can be much better as global content instead of translation only or technology only. I think, you know, a lot of people tend to fall into the technology trap. We will never have the funds or the knowledge to be, you know, as tech advanced as a company in Silicon Valley. It's a whole different ballgame. But understanding global content as transforming our industry into actual global content solutions providers or partners will make a huge difference. I wish that more companies encompassed this idea and started, instead of fighting against each other or competing for whatever is left, but of translation, instead embrace the whole global content idea and started as an industry to grow in that direction.
Add value to a customer, which is good.
All day, always. Yes, absolutely. Yes. But on a different level, as we said, you know, forget the per word, you know, double-sided, you know, cat two thing, and think more on a broader way. You know, think context.
Now, so you're in leadership position like Fabiano. And so what is, you know, obviously you're looking at what has transpired in the past, or what's coming up in the future, in today's situation. What is one leadership habit you've adopted in the past 5 years that fundamentally changed your impact?
Listening and learning. I think as an entrepreneur, and I was the sole director of the company, more or less, I didn't have a partner to, you know, ping pong with. I had to make the decisions on my own. It was very solitary. With Charles, it changed completely the game. We exchanged a lot. And I think by doing that, I started learning how to listen to people. And I think I learned a lot, not only for my personal life. I took a lot to my personal life from work, the experiences that I had at the office, different cultures. I was immersed in a completely different culture, living in North American culture that was absolutely different from the Brazilian culture. So, and that I would like to believe that made me a better leader.
You know, as I wrap this up here, coming up on the hour, I really enjoyed this conversation. It's one of the most fun conversation I've had. I'd love to invite you again just to break the ice, one of these podcasts, when I go through a series of podcasts.
Anytime.
It's boring. I'm gonna say, okay, I need a Fabiano dose. I'm gonna bring you in just to say, okay, guys, well, let's talk to Fabiano and see how that goes. It's a Friday afternoon.
Anytime. Well, it's Friday. It started Friday. Every 30 minutes on Friday, we can catch up every Friday. I'm good with that. Let's do the wrap of the week. Let's do it.
And as we wrap it up, any last comments? Any last thoughts?
I think I've tried talking about this, and I think we're all blind to the fact that we should not leave people behind. As the industry progresses, as we become more AI ready, and I think we are almost there, I think we should never leave the founders behind. I think we're giving very little attention to the small and medium LSPs, and it crushes my heart to think that these people who build this industry are not being taken care of in whatever way. I think we need to do something about it. I know everyone is under pressure to deliver, but I think we should try to find space within the industry and make sure that these people are not left behind.
I couldn't agree with you more. When I launched my N49 network company, I promised myself I only want to work with the small to medium enterprise.
Well, there you go.
In the industry, you know, we all read CSA statistics. There's 19,000 of them, and they're not many. They're not small in numbers, and they all need certain things. They're struggling in certain areas. They all need help. Now, not all of them are fundamentally rich companies, and they can afford highfalutin consultants from PwC paying $25,000 to tell you what you need to know and you already know. I'm not knocking down PwC. They're a great company, but some of the small to medium enterprise cannot afford to work with them.
Oh, not even that, Robin. Attending a conference, you know, I come from Brazil. $10,000 to start off for a single person to get there. It's insane.
Crazy.
CSA membership, how much does it cost? So how can we share knowledge? And knowledge is more readily available to everyone, but I think we need coaching. We have to give these people an opportunity and not just leave them.
Absolutely. So I want to thank you, Fabiano, for joining.
Thank you. It was such an honor, such a pleasure, so much fun. Anytime you want me, I'll be back.
So thank you, Fabiano, for joining me. I really appreciate it, for helping me recording episode 162. I really appreciate your time with me. And I hope you can join us again. This channel is always your channel. Feel free drop by anytime you want. At your disposal, in any way you can use this, use the channel to amplify any message you have in mind. You mentioned you have so many initiatives on the go, so happy to support those initiatives. To the audience. Go ahead.
And I want you on the sofa. I need you on the sofa, so we need to organize this too.
I got my first invitation to a sofa, man.
I was holding back my interviewer persona. I want to ask you questions. Let me ask you questions. So yes, I need I need on the sofa. I'll save the questions for the sofa. But I'll come back whenever you want me. It will be my pleasure.
Absolutely. And thanks so much again for being part of this conversation. To the audience, I want to thank you for listening in. Hopefully that was a fun episode for you. It was fun for me and Fabiano. We had a few laughs. Hopefully we've educated a few people on certain topics in this podcast. Thanks for listening in. Thanks for keeping us in mind. If you like the content, if you don't mind liking and sharing and distributing the content to your network, appreciate it. It would help the channel quite a bit. Thanks, everybody, and I'll see you at the next episode.
Thank you, Robin. Take care.